This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Boys and girls, it's the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and I'm Danny. And we're so pumped that it's Wednesday and we're
pump it up.
All up in your business. What are we doing, girls?
Don't know. We're just here. This is the deal. You know, it's no excuse on our part, really, because this is important to us, this pod.
Serene, did you bring your guitar?
No, we're not doing that. Today, I haven't even sung at the Jolly Wedding.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
Okay, next time we come, Serene's going to sing a song that I want her to sing for you guys. Because you won't be at her daughter's wedding this weekend.
I will be.
But yes, you will be. So yesterday, I went over to Serene's house and I was in total dragon lady mode, right? We had to test all these crackers. We had to test things. We had to change recipes. And it was like we only had a certain amount of time. And I was like, come on, Serene. And I wasn't being very kind or sisterly and I didn't want to muck around. And Serene was like, Pearl, can you just listen to this song? I just wrote it and I just don't know. It might be junk. I'm maybe thinking about singing at Chalice's wedding on Saturday. And I was like, I really didn't want to listen, right? And then so I'm like, okay, I'll listen. And so I just sat there and at the end I was just a bawling mess because she wrote it for her daughter as her daughter's getting married. And I said, you got to sing it on the party because
I'm like, no, I'll mess up and it'll be ridiculous because when I sing, I get nervous.
And most of them aren't coming to the wedding. So next time we come, Serene's going to sing it.
Okay, so how we got to that point was, okay, so we've just got a lot going on right now, yeah, planning weddings. And I was just down in Florida for my husband's eye surgery. He needed an eye surgery. And we're going to do a bit of a potty about that because there's some interesting parallels and some interesting stuff I learned down there. Oh yeah, that's going to be a great down in Florida. We went down to Jacksonville, Florida for an eye surgery with the best eye surgeon in the world and we learned some amazing things.
Whoa. Have you ever typed in Florida man and then any date?
No, but has that got anything to do with this podcast?
And just try it. But you were saying you learned some things.
No, yeah. And so we've been down in Florida and then we came back with a week to plan the wedding, basically. But Leslie Pops is our Franck. Have you ever seen the father of the bride?
Franck.
And they have the wedding planner. It was called Franck. Franck, the
his
wedding
name
planner.
Is Franck.
Yes. And he,
you've never seen father of the bride.
And he got the cock for the wedding, the cake,
man,
the cock.
Somehow your daughter's husband's dad was named Franck in my head while you're telling the story.
Oh my God. Leslie Pops.
No, Leslie Pops is our Franck. She's actually planning the wedding for us.
Serene
Hyder. She's doing it. She's doing everything. Like, so we went down there totally relaxed because we knew Franck had it for us, Leslie Pops.
How's Leslie doing?
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, she's totally amazing. So, but we just have a week to, like, you know, do last minute family stuff that we need to pull off our part of it, right?
Right.
So I haven't really been in the mode of like, what should I bring to the pod? You know, that kind of thing. But while I was down there, flying down to Jacksonville, I listened to a sermon. I haven't been able to listen to one for a while just because it's been that busy Christmas, New Year, blah, blah. You know, you hit the ground running when it gets the New Year sometimes. So this is going to be a morph meat potty where I wanted to share how I got to the meat that I'm going to bring. I got it kind of inspired from this message, but it's going to morph into a point that we're all going to discuss.
You did say a morphed meat party.
Yes, okay. Morphed meat party.
Make sure I heard
that
right.
I was listening to this awesome message. The whole message was on hearing the word of the Lord, his voice, and not letting other voices drown it out. And he said something interesting about faith, which really blew me away because, you know, there's in my life right now, I'm happy to, we always need faith. But right now I'm needing to stand in a place of strong faith for something in my life. And I was starting to get a little bit, just like, yes, I've got faith. Lord, give me faith, you know, but I was agitated. Mm-hmm. I was agitated of heart. And I heard this guy say, you know that you're standing in faith when you have peace. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, whoa, wow, that's so true. Because if I don't have peace, then I really had to have no confidence in the word or the promise that I'm standing on, that I have faith in. So that was really inspiring to me. And he was saying, you know, peace is not a person, and we know that. I'm sorry, it's not just a feeling, it's a person. And we know that. And it's the kind that gets anchored in war. Peace that's anchored in war, anchored in tribulation. It's not the fluffy kind that you just, you know, you don't you just feel when you're sipping a pina colada on a hammock and on your favorite beach resort. No, the peace that I'm talking about is the peace that gets its grit, gets its feet when times are going, you know, going hard. And peace is having the word living inside of us, and not letting other voices of anxiety, of doubt, and of worries choke it out. And so he was encouraging the listeners to protect peace, protect the peace the word brings. And in Mark chapter 4, it's the chapter that's talking about the word as a seed being down in our hearts, and the seed that actually will bear fruit and the seed that won't. And in Mark 4:19, it says, "And the cares of this world choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." And just think about it. The most powerful thing in the whole entire universe is the word of God. It spoke the universe into existence. It has power in the seed. The seed, the word of God, is likened unto the seed, and we put it into our hearts. And it has so much power to produce on the promises that he's given us. And anxiety and cares and doubt, they don't have power. But when we look at them and take our eyes off the word, when we put our eyes on the cares, even though that the cares aren't powerful, they actually can choke what is powerful.
Yeah.
And what has so much to bear in our lives. And so it's a choice. I started to realize it's a choice. We always have a choice. It was created that way. Choice was created by God because God builds our character through choice. Even in the Garden of Eden, there was a choice, right? And I'm going to bring it back to the word. He put a tree they couldn't eat from, and he put a tree they could eat from, and he put it in the garden and said, choose.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just put the good tree in there.
Right.
So we have this word, we have his word, and the word that brings peace, but we also have the cares, and we have to choose which one. Mm-hmm. Right? And it started making me think about choice as a bigger thing. So that was what his message was about, and I was so moved by it, and it helped me so much. But I started thinking, this choice thing, it's huge. It's huge. I was just thinking that it's all set up. Everything in life is set up around a choice. And in Mark 4:17, it says, "And they had no root in themselves, but endure for a time, then when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they fall away." And this is back to the word, the choice and the word part. The word actually has like almost a magnet that brings persecution to it, because that's what it says. It said that when persecution arises for the word's sake.
Yeah.
You know, and other
translations. What are you talking about when you mean the word, like the Bible?
I'm talking about the word of God, his promises.
Okay, yes.
I am healer.
Right.
You know, I am the God that healeth thee.
Yeah.
The word, meaning everything that's written in the Bible.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but not a lot of people
great.
Know what
that
you
was good.
Mean.
That was good. That was good to
because
clear that
not
up.
Everybody, you know, goes to church and
right. Good. So it was just making me realize that. So I'm going back to the word right now, and then we're going to go to the larger view of choice and everything. But even with the word of God, he set it up so the word brings this persecution, almost a resistance to it is built into it.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you receive this word, it's almost like resistance is built into it from the air, from the environment, whatever. It's like you get a promise and then you'll anxiety will come, doubt will come, it'll be tested.
Yes.
And it's a biblical principle, Bill, that it'll be tested. And why? Why do we get to this crossroads where we have this choice? Am I standing on the word or, ooh, there's this care over here, there's this doubt.
Yeah.
And we get this choice. Am I going to let this doubt choke the power of this promise out? And so it's so interesting. Even the word of God is built around this choice. The Garden of Eden is built around the choice. Salvation is built around this big choice. And so I reckon everything in life is built around a choice.
Everything.
What we believe, how we view life, if we're going to stay sick or defeated or broken or bitter. Choice is what God has extended to us so that we're not programmed robots.
Yeah.
It is so we can be in charge of our own potential, and this is huge. I've heard it said that God is in charge of fulfilling his word, but he is not in charge of our potential. I mean, just think about that. A choice between the tree of life or the other is ours. Between something good and something destructive is ours. Our potential is in our hands. Mm-hmm. And that's an incredible responsibility to realize. In Deuteronomy 13:30-19, it says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have put life and death, blessing and curse before you. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. And now broadening it to the trim healthy experience. Some people don't want to think about food. They just want to, like, they don't want to think about, oh, which you know, what should I eat for lunch or which will be healthier. They just want to see food and eat it. You know, they don't want the choice involved. It's like the choice is annoying to them. It's like, why does it have to be that complicated? I'm hungry. There's food. I'll eat it. Why do I have to think more? They just And I'm just thinking, even in other areas of health, not just in food, but maybe like spiritual and mental with the way, you know, we think and talk. We can't just talk either. Like we just can't eat. We can't just talk. We have to choose the right words.
Right.
Life-giving words, wise words, a word in the right season, healing words, restoring words. And we can't just think.
No.
We have to think healthy.
Yes.
Think life, think hope and faith and think possibilities.
Yes.
We can't just walk. We have to walk tall with beautiful, strong posture, walking with our head high and not with a mopey shoulder, dejected countenance and a sloppy gait. We don't just get up in the morning either. We have to get up the right way. We have to choose. We have to destroy all negativity as soon as it dawns in our minds. We have to get up to love the morning.
Oh, yeah.
We have to get up to shine to all that we come in contact with. And we don't just believe either.
No.
We cancel out anything that raises its head against the word of God, or we have a hoe in our mind. And if you're not a believer, you cancel out anything that goes against whatever you've built up for what you think life is about. But you have a hoe in your mind to hack out the weeds, so that the what's precious to you, and to me that's the powerful word of God, is not choked.
Mm.
We refuse to pay attention to doubts, anxiety. We rest as we stand vigilantly, and this is how we believe. So we don't just believe any old how.
No, we choose to believe a certain way.
And so we don't just eat. We choose life in every bite. We choose to see the choice, to recognize our responsibility of being the pilot of our potential. And I thought, Dan, man, when I shut up here in 2 seconds, he'll roll with that one. We see the choice as the exciting crossroads. That
pilot of our potential. Can we give that a few seconds, though?
Can we take a moment?
Pilot of our potential is so true. And that only comes through choice. You're not piloting anything if you're not navigating a way or choosing which way to go.
Right. And that's what God wanted for us. He didn't want us to be these robots. He wanted us to realize that we are the pilot of our potential. We need to see the choice for food as the exciting crossroads that catapults our future into good or bad. We see food not just like, oh, food, I eat. You know?
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
A lot of people say, though, they say you shouldn't call some foods bad. All food is food, right?
A lot of people, I think some food is food.
Yeah, see, so do I. But a lot of people say, well, that gives it a stigma and that causes, you know, issues like food is bad. Well, that just makes you want to eat it anymore.
But I feel like that's a stigma that people say, well, don't say getting angry is not right because, you know, it gives it a stigma and that's just a natural release of our humanity. Bull dust.
But toxic, like, you know, a food filled with let's say red dye chemicals and filled with sugar and filled
with
that's
not food.
It's not food. So it is bad for your body.
Yeah. If it's not food, like food, like what part of the earth did it come from? I take a hard stand on this now. Yeah. I know there's time to be obsessive and like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if it's not food, I think you should take a hard stand. Don't eat cardboard. That's not, nobody's being judgmental. We love you. Don't eat cardboard, baby.
So I've got one more line and then I'm shutting up and I'm sending this over to you, okay? I'm going to press send to Pearl's mind and to Danny's mind and their mouths shall open. Ooh. But so the point is this, we see food, this whole morphed, you know, inspiration from what I listen to and everything, it's come to this. We need to see food like everything else, a choice.
Yes. But yeah. We're going to need to not, just like I talked about in the potty last week, not despising the, you know, what are they called? The menial things?
The menial.
Yeah, I was going to say millennial. I don't despise the millennial things.
Oh, do I have to not despise those?
Yes, you have to not despise millennials. But we can't despise the fact that every single meal we have a choice. We're going to have to celebrate that choice. Mm-hmm. Because I often see it. I see it over and over again. I just wish I didn't have to decide. Just tell me what to eat. I'll do it. But it's not until you become that pilot and, you know, release your potential. You have to pilot this plane, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you're saying. You yes. have to be that chooser. Until you stand up and take responsibility and say, I am the chooser. That's me. Other people don't do it for me. Other people don't yes. shove something in my face.
Yes.
I become this chooser. I celebrate the choice. And like the scripture tells me, I choose good.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I love the idea of ownership. Mm-hmm. I mean, any time we can move away from the side of destiny and things just, well, it just worked out that way. And that type of mentality that pushes away ownership. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of this pretend that we live in a world that is completely out of our control, mm-hmm. you know? And I get the security of that belief. There is this sense that, you know what? The important things of life are so much bigger than you that, you know, you have no play in here whatsoever. And so you can relax in that. And sure, ultimately, I believe that some things are beyond our control. Yeah. But man, if we're talking health and...
I think our potential, though, is our responsibility. Because just think right. of it. Just think of it, Danny. There was a lot that was done to you that wasn't right. There was a lot that was the cards that were played to you as a child. Well, you had like seven dads. I don't know exactly, five, whatever.
We'll say seven. Okay. To nine.
Yeah. Just think. I mean, you had a hard childhood, but you didn't say, okay, look what was dealt to me. I'm stuck. You got on that horse and said, I'm riding a different direction.
Yeah.
I'm going to direct my future a different way. I'm responsible for how the story's going to end.
I actually got really weird and chose to believe new things about those negative events.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they actually were the script written for the character who would eventually discover his superpowers.
There you go.
Yes. You know, and so these were the hard, traumatic things that come with being a superhero,
yes.
that come with being someone who has an amazing ability to pull off staying married and pull off yes. paying attention when his kids are talking to him. You know, those are things that may come natural to most parents, but to me, they are a super. I have to access my superhuman side. Yeah. You know, that's some things that seem very normal. And I was that way my whole life, like getting like a NSF fee from your bank account. You know, I was yeah. just like, what are these? Yeah. I mean, I just like, so you can take, I think, your past and you can choose to believe anything you want about it. You can choose a very disempowering, handicap type of belief, or you can believe that these are actually what have given me this special ability to succeed.
And I like it. You're doing a little condense of your book. You're, you know, what if you could? And that's true, though. I love those. Good. Those are my favorite chapters of your book yeah. when you talk about your past.
Well, what doesn't
and
kill you makes you stronger.
How you thought about them. But yeah, it's just so true, Serene, about choice. I think we've got to learn to love to choose. Love that choice. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's choice time already. Mm-hmm. It's direct our thoughts to the way we think about it anymore. Yeah. Rather than, oh, it's choice, man, I gotta choose between, you know, the Pop-Tart or driving through and getting the Egg McMuffin.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm making a 10-minute breakfast here. What am I going to choose? Man, I wish I didn't have to choose.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we got to own that and say, I get to choose. And I'm piloting this thing.
And guess what? We choose anyway, whether we think about it or not.
Yeah, yeah. You're gonna choose one of the other. You're gonna drive through if you're not gonna choose.
You're gonna choose, and whether you choose to say something nice you're gonna speak anyway, and so you're obviously gonna, if you're not gonna choose to say something nice, you've already chosen the negative.
But that
whatever.
Can become default. But default only happens because of constant choices. You get practice exactly. at certain choices, and they become your default.
But
right?
You know, that, yeah, and that. But that's that like tendency for things to fall apart, entropy in the universe, or gravity pulling things down. Like if you are not taking ownership and making your choice, the choice for whatever you want to happen, successfully happening.
Yeah.
And you leave it up to gravity. Well, gravity pulls
it
down.
It falls down. You make the choice that you do snap at your husband instead of hold your tongue. Or you make the choice
to.
Like, no, you do get, you know, you pull your hair out when your child has a tantrum. You have the same tantrum.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things that come to default. And like the scripture says, Serene loves to bring them, but sometimes, you know, just some pop into my head.
Every now and then you'll quote a chapter and verse.
And it's like, narrow is the way that leads to salvation. Wide is the gate. Everyone else has gone through the wide one because it's so much easier, right?
Absolutely.
But narrow is taking you to someplace so much better.
Yeah.
And you've got to find that narrow, and it's winding. And it's that choice. It's saying, no, I'm getting up to make that breakfast.
Right. And I don't want people to think, oh, this health food thing is just so, I just want to be normal. I don't want to be like, I just want to live my life regularly, right,
yeah.
in this food area. Well, the thing is to live your life regularly, you have to choose, like I tried to show before, in every aspect of your life, even from the foundations of why we're all here in the garden, everything. It's all being set up with choice. So don't think, oh, I'm being like all kind of like health food nutty because I'm having to make a choice. The choice is there, like you said.
Yeah.
But like there, even if it's by default, the choice is there. So let's walk the good choice. Let's make the good choice. But realize this choice for food is no different for our choice for to be a kind person, our choice to walk out of our darkness.
Yeah.
So this being I'm not
But you almost
right.
have to, I know what you're trying to say, you know, you're not nutso if you're choosing health. You're not
yes.
you're not a weirdo, right? But if you don't, but it might seem that way because most people are just doing normal foods, right? When you go to the grocery cart, let's be honest, and we try not to be too judgmental. We don't want to be judging others because they haven't learned the truth, mm-hmm. right? If you go and see the average cart, it is full of normal choices. But where are the normal choices getting people? They're getting sugar diabetes. Mm-hmm. They are getting all sorts of diseases. They're getting overweight, and it's an epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about other epidemics that are going through the world right now. There's far worse epidemics
yes.
that are killing people. Like, let's be honest, right? With just through choices of food. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to default. The choices they've always made, which is the default, which is mm-hmm. the wide gap one, which mm-hmm. is the ones that are falling down, which are the easiest to mm-hmm. do. Your white bread, your packaged cereal, it's all easy, right? But it's killing them.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be a little bit of a weirdo. Even it's like Serene saying, you're not weird to make a choice, but it seems weird because most grocery carts aren't those choices.
Right.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that a lot of the packaged food chemicals which are not food, but the chemicals in there causes hyperactivity.
Yeah.
And if you have a kid who's on the like, kind of the like what they call the right brain, like bubbly side, it can like push that kid into like this out of control ADD type
oh, absolutely.
Of person. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. This mother who is struggling with childhood behaviors, who doesn't have time to prepare food because she deals with the childhood behaviors, and
right.
so she gets the chemicals that are not the only reason, but a big part of, like, we've taken out you know, I've got a kid or two that is quite Danny-esque in their personalities, and we have removed almost like, and like, that's why, you know, I keep raving about the Shameless crackers
yeah.
and some of these things that I can just open from Trim Healthy Mama
yeah.
because I get the need for that. You do need to just open something and go.
I know.
But man, we are finding the time it takes, especially as our boys become teens, they can make scrambled eggs and
yeah.
baked potatoes themselves. And so part of our regimen is they have to get up and make their own breakfast.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm trying to like
I did that
liberate
to my
boys
wife. Too. Boy, it was tough though sometimes because they knew that mom could make it, you know?
Yeah.
Ugh, oh.
And so they'll sit around.
Boot camp USA at my home.
Oh,
everyone
Serene,
makes their own
Serene,
breakfast.
There's no choice at Serene's house. It's boot camp. You make your breakfast.
Yes.
You want to eat,
well,
don't you?
You're not teaching them how to be a human.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, then they leave the home and their poor wife, you know?
Yeah, like picky.
Yeah.
But you said that your boys, you know, there's certain Danny-esque boys. Now, you, even when you're young, you know, you did it all. Of course, you never had any nutrition. So you grew up on like ramen noodles and Pop-Tarts, but you also got labeled ADHD, right? And put your medicine and all that.
ADD, yeah. When I was prescribed.
Now, you see those same maybe genetic things in your boys, but they're not on medicine, right?
No.
And you feel like a lot of it is diet, and of course,
every now and then a strong
there's a
hit
father in the home, of course, but
that's a big absent dad disorder. is probably what I had.
But even people with fathers in the home, there's ADD and stuff like that. Sure. We're not saying it's all because of food, but boy, it has an impact.
Oh, it has a huge impact, absolutely, and it also has to do with even when there is a dad in the home. Sometimes dads aren't helping channel that boy's energy, and are sort of disconnected and letting mom sort of be the parent. And I'm guilty of that. I did that for a short season, until I went, okay, that doesn't work. I have to be very present with this one. Yeah. He's a high energy dog. He needs a frisbee. He needs, you know, like he's not a little lap dog like my other cuddly little puppies, you know, who take after my wife's side. You know, they'll lay their head in your lap and just go, "Mother, thou hast perfected life for us as children." You know, and meanwhile, you've got the Valdez side just like playing like air metal guitar and screaming about how they don't have anything and how their life is hard, and if only they had more media and more cake, everything,
that'll help.
They'd stop punishing you with their behavior. I don't think so, son. Sorry.
Oh, so great. Everything's a choice, people.
Everything's
a choice.
You know, but like I guess
that was your way of like rounding it out, because we'd already said it, so you just thought you'd say it again.
Well,
like dad.
Just like we were just
grew up with our dad who liked to repeat in a sermon.
We were just going to different rabbit holes, and I was just trying to remind everybody what we were here about.
Oh, you were
that was professional. Oh, no, she was taking a little note from Pearl, you know, like
that's true.
Full circle back
to
the point.
But when I full circle it, I don't just say repeat it. I like bring some rounder.
Yes.
I round up with a bit
of newness. You professionalize it with some newness for us, Pearl.
She's better than you.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, she is. Go, now do that, Pearl.
Everything's a choice, people. Everything's a choice.
Hey, no. Finish us off professionally, thou big sister shit.
Oh, you want me to bring it? Yes. Own it in? I don't know.
See? She's got pressure. She can't pull it off.
Hey, listen, people. We're deep into 2021 already. It's time to get intentional. Let me say this.
Ooh.
A big successful thing Lisa and I have been doing is we set our intentions for the week.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
This sounds very in millennial.
Both.
No, that's a good thing, maybe.
Well, yeah, because the opposite.
You said us, we're not allowed to despise millennials.
That's right. That's why I changed it around.
Well, the opposite is not setting your intention for the week.
So
and that's atrophy. So,
and by default, you're not setting your intentions for the week.
I'm in the default.
Well, think about, like, you think you're rocking, hitting home runs until you set your intentions for the week. And you're like, whoa, we could be
That's
way
so
more.
True.
So like not only in my business, but also me and Lisa's relationship.
Aww.
And in our family.
Oh,
we're like, hey, it's business meeting time for domestic business. What do we want to see happen this week with our family? More of this, less of that. Because otherwise
good.
We're going to be on autopilot.
Yeah, so you're like management of a family that's growing and building into something.
Yeah.
Like, you know how
like
we have these Trim Healthy Mum exec
Absolutely.
Meetings that John and I have to sit
through.
But it's all about building the brand, you know, making, you know, weeding out the weeds and growing it. So I actually think that's great, Danny.
Intention. Look at those puzzle
otherwise
pieces.
Otherwise, it's all default.
That's
falling.
Right.
But, you know, you're right. I mean, I don't, like, set my intentions for the week. But daily, when I, like Serene said, you choose every morning. Daily, I could get up and be in a bad, stinking mood and think things are bad. And then you have to take your thoughts. I mean, some days you just get up and think things are great, right? And that's – but sometimes it's just, man, that's hard. I got to face that today and then that. And then you could just mope out. So many mornings, I want to mope out to the kitchen. And listen, I would just share here my personality or what I thought it was. I I don't know how my children turn out so great, because my children are great. But there were many years when I didn't understand this, you know, put on a new mindset thing. And I would just mope out to the kitchen in the morning because I hadn't slept that night and I was up with the babies or whatever. And I would just be a big morning moper. And these days I'm like, I make the choice. Sometimes I don't live up to it and I fail, but I make the choice not to be a morning moper.
Mm.
That's my morning choice. Don't be a morning moper, Pearl.
Mm.
And I decide not to be, and I'm actually, I've learned. It's so weird. You know how I've told the story over the years of how I'm a bed maker now and I never used to be?
That was a choice.
I actually lately call myself a morning person.
Mm. I love that.
All my life I was the total opposite to a morning person. I was the morning moper, you know? Mm. And now I'm like, no, I can be... I'm not like, hi, everybody, but I'm just quite perky and happy. Mm-hmm. I don't need coffee before I say hello or anything. I mean, I used to be. But you're right, Danny, we pilot our potential. Look at me. Now, was that nice wrap up?
That was a good Pentecostal and acronym loving to wrap it up.
That's true, but that's what I do. I repackage.
That's good. No, you're good. Give Jude.
You don't
credit
repeat.
To
you repackage, Serene. Just tips from the professional Pearl here.
That's good, Pearl. I'm at your feet.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl. And who are you?
Serene.
Trim Healthy Mama product news and notes.
Serene, I want to talk to you about our Trim Healthy Mama Journey app.
Can I tell you something? The other day my son stormed and, Mama, you were so excited that you guys have got this app that's hit what? It hit something or other.
Best-selling
number one app of all such and such. I don't know. And I'm like, what app? You mean the app we've had out for like 2 years? Like, Mom.
No, that's the analyzer app.
Yes. They're like, no, Mom, your voice is on it. So I didn't even realize when I do all this work here with John that it was for a journey app. He just said, talk about this. And I'm like, I'd love to talk about that. And I talked about it, but I don't know. Tell me, Pearl.
Okay, you need to just hush up now and I'm going to tell you about the app. We didn't tell Serene because Serene is not like the rest of us in that she doesn't know where her phone is. Like, if she ever answers the phone when I call, I'm like, hallelujah chorus, right? I have to go to her house to talk to her. So Serene will probably never be on this app because her and phones aren't besties. But for the rest of us, oh my goodness, what a tool. I am loving this thing. Serene, what you do is you go and it chronicalizes your whole Trim Healthy journey, right? So it's a tracker, but it's not like an obsessive tracker where you do macros, carbs, calories and all that. But you log your meals.
Ooh.
So you take a picture of them and then you have people that follow you and you follow others, right?
Oh, that's so fun.
Every single meal, when you put it in there, it asks you to pick, is it an S or E fuel pool, not on plan crossover? So you pick that.
Yes.
It labels it.
Yes.
Then is it a lunch, dinner, breakfast, snack, sipper, whatever? You pick that. It labels it. And then you can write a little bit about it. And you can keep it private or you can just post public.
Yeah.
And so then everyone gets to see what you eat.
Did you put your green oatmeal on there?
Yes. I've shown people my green oatmeal using the dynamic duo greens.
That's so fun.
Yeah. And some people are like, I could never eat green oatmeal. And now other people are eating green oatmeal just because
it'd be the best for your children, eh?
Yeah.
Like dinosaur guts oatmeal.
But anyway, so it's so good because it keeps you accountable because people are sort of like watching what you eat and then you get ideas from others. I've got so many ideas.
Right, because you're not very proud if you've got nothing to put up but half a McDonald's burger.
Exactly. So it really makes you think and I'm always thinking, well, hold on, people are going to look at what I eat. Where are my veggies, Pearl? So on my plate, my veggies go,
ooh,
right?
That's so good.
And it's so fun. And then there's so many areas. Like there's our panic buttons. This is what people
are
loving.
It's almost like a fake it till you make it thing like Danny would talk about, right?
Yeah.
You just got to like put these meals up, act like this is how good you'd normally be, and then it will be you.
And if it's not on plan, you just put it out there and you're like, hey guys, this is live. And everyone's like, that's okay, get back on. But this panic area, people are loving that so much. That's when you and I recorded all these scenarios for like,
I was wondering why we would do that.
I'm about to cheat. And then you and I just swarm in like super trim healthy mamas and talk them out of it.
Yeah.
So there's all that. You guys, if you're not on the app, get on the app. It's cheap. It's like a one-time price of $7.99. That's it.
Wow.
We'll keep updating it. We're getting more and more things for there. But it's so worth it because it's motivational. It's inspirational. It's encouraging. It does all the charts and stuff. If you look at the scale, you don't have to, but then it will chart your progress down and all of that. But it is so fun. And I think it's a great tool for this year. It's helping me, and I've been doing this for like years.
I know, you came to me the other day. You're like, Pearl, Serene, I'm having so much fun on this journey app.
It is fun. It's totally fun. And so you can get it for Android or Apple, right?
Is it worth
me,
like, getting involved with my
phone?
Everyone
keeps asking me, do you think we'll soon see Serene on this app? I'm like, probably no chance because she doesn't know where her phone is.
I dropped my last phone in the toilet. Not me. Sorry, I was potty training a toddler. Yeah.
But I don't know. One day, maybe you might like log one meal and everyone will be like, what?
Well, my famous yuck yum.
Yeah, she won't even be posting a yuck yum every meal. Here it is again. Okay, you guys, I'll see you on the app.
See ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.